some West Side love for all you ghetto children.
From where we are, it's perfect.
One day everything's gonna be fine. But until that day, my only.
When I was looking at the Seattle news stations, they're saying from Seattle, you can, it's a 91% eclipse. So what it does, it starts on the West Coast, it moves across the West, and it starts to dip. And it looks like it ends up just above maybe Florida in South Carolina. So we can still see a partial eclipse, and most of North America can witness the partial eclipse. And I told my... I said on the show a few weeks ago, why not go to Oregon? I was thinking of going to Oregon. But then again, on the Seattle News, I'm getting all my information about the eclipse on the Seattle News. All the hotels are booked in a lot of places. So I wonder if Portland, so I should check it out. Even if it's in Portland, maybe I should go. But it's at 9:10. And guess what? I was in Shanghai a few years ago, maybe 2009 or 2010. They had an eclipse and it got totally dark. But it was raining and it was total cloud cover. So what happened is what we saw was about whatever 9 or 10 in the morning, it just got dark like night, 100% dark for a little while. And then it was light again. But if it's cloudy, you will not be able to see it. So I guess a lot of this depends on the weather. And for those people who know these things, it's a magnitude 0.88 eclipse. So I'm going to read now, what is a partial solar eclipse? Partial solar eclipses happen when the moon comes between the sun and the earth, but the moon only partially covers the sun disk. During a partial solar eclipse, the moon, the sun, and the earth don't align in a perfectly straight line, and the moon casts only the outer part of its shadow, the penumbra, on earth. From our perspective, this looks like the moon has taken a bite out of the sun. So it looks like someone has taken a big bite of an Oreo cookie. Sometimes the moon covers only a tiny part of the sun's disk. Other times, a partial eclipse looks almost like a total eclipse. The size of the eclipse area is referred to as the eclipse magnitude. Okay, so that's what an eclipse magnitude is. We're going to have a magnitude 0.88. So it looks like, does that mean that 88% of the moon is covered, or the sun is covered? We'll see. So I'll read here. What does the magnitude of an eclipse mean? The magnitude of an eclipse is the fraction of the diameter of the disk of the eclipse body that is covered by the eclipsing body. So we're going to get a 0.88. Annular or partial solar eclipses have a maximum magnitude of less than 1. For total solar eclipses, the value is 1 or greater. The maximum magnitude of a hybrid solar eclipse changes depending on the location. Higher magnitude equals longer totality. So the higher the magnitude number, more than 1, of a total solar eclipse, the longer the eclipse will last, and the area it can be seen from on Earth will be larger. Higher magnitudes also tend to give better views of the solar corona and of any planets or stars that may be visible. Where am I? On the other hand, phenomena such as Bailey's beads, the sun's chromosphere, and shadow bands tend to be visible only for a short time during these types of eclipses. Okay, the magnitude of a solar eclipse is the fraction of the moon's diameter covered by her shadow. Because Earth casts two different shadows, the umbra and the penumbra, there are two magnitudes associated with lunar eclipses, the penumbral magnitude and the umbral magnitude. The value of the magnitude of an eclipse, solar or lunar, is typically expressed as a decimal fraction. So for example, 0.75. And we're going to be at 0.88, which is pretty good. Most scientific and astronomical outlets report the magnitude of eclipse at the greatest or maximum point of the eclipse. So the next total solar eclipse will be August 21, 2017 at 1546 UTC. That's some kind of time. I'm not sure what it is. I've heard it all the time, but I am not sure what it means. So that will be in 24 days, 17 hours, 41 minutes, and 36 seconds. Okay, so now I think, why not read something about the eclipse? So how about this one? Eclipse balloons to study effect of Mars-like environment on life. This is dated July 27th on www.nasa.gov. So I'm going to start reading the article. Steps forward in the search for life beyond Earth can be as simple as sending the balloon into the sky. In one of the most unique and extensive eclipse observation campaigns ever attempted, NASA is collaborating with student teams across the U.S. to do just that. A larger initiative, NASA's Eclipse Balloon Project, led by Angela Desjardins of Montana State University, is sending more than 50 high-altitude balloons. How about a balloon? A balloon, yeah. More than 50 high-altitude balloons launched by student teams across the U.S. to live stream aerial footage of the August 21 solar eclipse from the edge of space, and they're going to broadcast that to NASA's website. So says Angela Desjardins, the student from Montana State University, and quote, "Total solar eclipses are rare and awe-inspiring events. Nobody has ever live-streamed aerial footage or aerial video footage of a total solar eclipse before. By live-streaming it on the internet, we are providing people across the world an opportunity to experience the eclipse in a unique way, even if they are not able to see the eclipse directly. The August solar eclipse gives us a rare opportunity to study the stratosphere when it's even more Mars-like than usual. We'll study effects on microorganisms that are coming along for the ride," end quote. So that's pretty interesting how NASA's going to use this eclipse to simulate a Mars environment, and that's a very nice, unique way. So there's going to be 50 balloons sent up by students, and it's sponsored by NASA. NASA's very good at that, getting students and citizen scientists involved. Back to the article. NASA will provide each team with two small metal cards, each the size of a dog tag. The cards have harmless yet environmentally resilient bacteria dried onto their surface. One card will fly up with the balloon while the other remains on the ground. A comparison of the two will show the consequences of the exposure to Mars-like conditions such as bacterial survival and any genetic changes. Now, this is interesting how much NASA does in all areas. The results of the experiment will improve NASA's understanding of environmental limits for terrestrial life in order to inform our search for life on other worlds. Mars's atmosphere at the surface is about 100 times thinner than Earth, with cooler temperatures and more radiation. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, they have now found metal ions in Mars' atmosphere. There are metal ions in Earth's atmosphere, but different than Mars. Back to the article. Under normal conditions, the upper portion of our stratosphere is similar to these Martian conditions, with its cold, thin atmosphere and exposure to radiation, due to its location above most of Earth's protective ozone layer. Temperatures where the balloons can fly reach minus 35 degrees Fahrenheit or colder, with pressures about a hundredth of that at sea level. During the eclipse, the similarities to Mars only increase. The moon will buffer the full blast of radiation and heat from the sun, blocking certain ultraviolet rays that are less abundant in the Martian atmosphere and bringing the temperature down even further. So says David J. Smith of Ames Research Facility, and quote, performing a coordinated balloon microbiology experiment across the entire continental states seems impossible under normal circumstances. The solar eclipse on August 21st is enabling unprecedented exploration through citizen scientists and students. After this experiment flies, we will have about 10 times more samples to analyze than all previously flown stratosphere microbiology missions combined. So isn't that interesting how NASA can get students involved at such a minimal cost, get 50 teams to launch balloons, and like this says, we'll have about 10 times more samples to analyze than all previously flown stratosphere microbiology missions combined, end quote. So that's very cost-effective what NASA does. Now, the new paragraph is titled, Student Teams Observing the Eclipse. Beyond the opportunity for NASA to conduct science, this joint project provides the opportunity for students as young as 10 years old to be exposed to the scientific method and astrobiology, research about life beyond Earth. Since ballooning is such an accessible and low-cost technique, the project attracted student teams from Puerto Rico to Alaska. I don't know how Alaska can get involved. They might not be, they're going to see a very, very partial eclipse. The data collected by teams will be analyzed by NASA scientists at Ames and NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, collaborators at Cornell University, scientists funded by the National Science Foundation, and National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, and faculty members and students at the team's institution, as well as the public. So says Professor Green, and quote, this project will not only provide insight on how bacterial life responds to Mars-like conditions, we are engaging and inspiring the next generation of scientists. Through this exciting piggyback mission, NASA is collaborating with scientists of the future to take a small step in the search for life beyond our planet, end quote. Now it shows a nice picture here. A team from Montana State University prepares to launch a high-altitude balloon in Idaho as researchers test whether they can successfully stream video from the stratosphere. Okay, so isn't that interesting? NASA's getting 50, a simple thing, 50 balloons, flying them up, and see what flies. So that's very interesting. I just wanted to go aside now a bit, and there's an article that caught my eye, and it's about Titan's complex chemistry. So Titan is the largest moon of Saturn, the second largest moon of the solar system. Oh, before I get away from the eclipse, sorry, I got to butt in here and say something. Most people probably already know this, but our moon is the only moon in the solar system which totally can cover the sun, or can totally block the sun in an eclipse. No other moon in the solar system is the right size to do that. So our moon is just big enough, or you can say just small enough, to cover the whole moon, the whole sun in a total eclipse. So that's the only moon in the solar system. Kind of interesting. We can brag about that to the other moons. Okay, back to this article about Cassini and new insights into Titan's complex chemistry, stated July 26, 2017. And again, Titan is the second largest moon in the solar system. It is after one of the Jupiter moons, and I don't want to say it now because I forgot, and I don't want to say the wrong one, but it's got a methane atmosphere, and we can't see through the atmosphere from Earth, so we can't see the surface. We have to get spacecraft up on Mars, like Cassini and its little R2-D2 probe, to fly around and go into the thing. And they can do radar images. They send down radar, and they map the surface of Titan. And some scientists believe that Titan, as it exists now, could have been the kind of environment that we had on Earth quite a few billion years ago. So I think there's lots of nitrogen in Titan's atmosphere, just like in the Earth. So is Titan another Earth in the making? Oh, it's kind of cold, minus 250 degrees Celsius, minus 230. So it's kind of cold for us to live there. Now there's an image, and it says, this natural color image shows Titan's upper atmosphere, an active place where methane molecules are being broken apart by solar ultraviolet light, and the byproducts combine to form compounds like ethane and acetylene. So there's all kinds of methane, ethane, and acetylene lakes and rivers flowing on Titan. Isn't that interesting? So that's the photo. Now I'm going to read the article. It's just a small... I had to get this in because I just love Titan and Saturn and the Cassini mission. Okay, so the caption below the article is, it says, and quote, this natural color image shows Titan's upper atmosphere, an active place where methane molecules are being broken apart by solar ultraviolet light, and the byproducts confine to form compounds like ethane and acetylene. I think I just said that. End quote. Okay, now I'm going to go to the article. It's a very small paragraph. Here goes. Cassini has made a surprising detection of a molecule that is instrumental in producing complex organics within the hazy atmosphere of Saturn's moon Titan. In a new study published in the Astrophysical Journal Letters, scientists identified what are known as carbon chain anions. These linear molecules are understood to be building blocks of more complex molecules and might even have acted as a basis for the earliest forms of life on Earth. So that is what I am saying from my previous reading. I've read that some scientists believe, anyway, that what is in Titan's atmosphere and or the conditions of Titan could be the conditions of Earth minus the cold temperatures. So, you know what? I'm going to go for a break now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about astronomy. How about that? Okay, so this is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to lifesaving.bc.ca.
From a Gucci in the winter, I seen you with your girls walking, in your chinchilla fur. I was laid up in the cool back shader, looking at your face just pure with no makeup. A little bit of MAC lip gloss, hair in a bun, well done. Looking for a ring, I seen none, so I hopped out the coupe and hot the suit is stopping. Introduced like I'm shining, you my destiny. In your diamond cluster, too much just to touch you.
This is Robin, the program manager at CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco, the best astronomy program on the planet.
Put it in your purse and call.
On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. If my Rolls Royce is not the ladies, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Mercedes. If my Mercedes would have full of a disease, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Firebird. If my Firebird can let face the curve, girl, put your ass and the dumb at your butt.
You're getting closer. My player days is over. Well, maybe not completely, but still in all. Come here, let's see a head on my bed. And let me get between your legs. Lay on your back, take it from the back. Like a bag you're supposed to. I know you like that.
Welcome back, that was Shine, and we were on a break. So, I was going to talk about the solar eclipse, but what can I talk about the solar eclipse? We've all know about solar eclipse. We're going to have a magnitude 0.88, so I think 88% of the sun will be covered. So if I can, I'll go down south more and see if I can get a hotel. But what I heard that in Portland, all the hotels are basically sold out. So I'll look at that. And it seems that these kind of things just get so much interest from around the world. So we'll see what I can do, if I can go down. But then I've seen eclipses before, and who cares? Okay, anyway. But they are interesting things. Like I said, we on Earth, our moon is the only moon in the solar system which completely covers the sun in an eclipse. So if we went to any other planet and there was an eclipse, we would never see a total eclipse. So we're here on Earth. We're lucky. So you guys on Mars, you Martians and you Saturnians and all you people that live on other planets, we're better. Thank you. Okay. So now we're going to look at, I was going to look at the eclipse more. Let's see if I can, that was an interesting project where we had the students are going to fly 50 balloons in various universities on the path of the eclipse. And they're not just going to do it where there's totality, where the sun is going to 100% cover the eclipse. They're going to do it in other parts. So what happens is the moon during the eclipse blocks out some of the ultraviolet radiation from the sun. So, and the balloons are going to be very high where the atmosphere is very thin. So researchers and astronauts and astronomers believe that that will be like the atmosphere on Mars, way up high there. So they're going to, on their balloons, they're going to have a plate with some bacteria attached to the balloon, and they're going to have a duplicate plate. So every team will have a plate. They're going to send their balloons up, and during that time in the eclipse, their balloons will be exposed to conditions that are something like the Martian atmosphere. And then when they retrieve their balloons, they're going to retrieve the plates and compare them to the plates that they have on Earth. So this will be the most extensive experiment on this kind of stuff. And it's 10 times more data is going to be gathered than all previous similar missions combined. So that's very good. Okay, so let's look at this one, July 25th, 2017. Chasing the total solar eclipse from NASA's WB-57F jets. And it shows a guy in a jet, and with their black visor, it looks kind of real space age. So this is dated July 25th, 2017 on www.nasa.gov under the heading of Eclipses and Transits. And the title again is Chasing the Total Solar Eclipse from NASA's WB-57F Jets. For most viewers, oh, here it goes, I'm starting to read the article. For most viewers, the August 21, 2017 total solar eclipse will last less than 2.5 minutes. But for one team of NASA-funded scientists, the eclipse will last for over 7 minutes. Their secret, following the shadow of the moon in two retrofitted WB-57F jet planes. Amir Caspi of the Southwest Research Institute in Boulder, Colorado, and his team will use two of NASA's WB-57F research jets to chase the darkness across America on August 21st, taking observations from twin telescopes mounted on the noses of the planes. Now, isn't that cool? They're going to mount telescopes on the nose of the plane. Caspi will capture the clearest images of the sun's outer atmosphere, the corona to date, and the first ever thermal images of Mercury, revealing how temperature varies across Mercury's surface. So says Dan Seaton, co-investigator of the project and researcher at the University of Colorado in Boulder, Colorado, and quote, "These could well turn out to be the best ever observations of high frequency phenomena in the corona. Extending the observing time and going to very high altitude might allow us to see a few events or track waves that would essentially be invisible in just 2 minutes of observations from the ground." End quote. Sorry, I have to add this in. I was going to read about Titan, about its atmosphere, but you know what? It's going to be the eclipse, so I'll make this an eclipse show. And maybe next week I'll read that article on Titan, because I'm very interested in Titan and the chemistry of its atmosphere and how the sun affects it. And was it similar to the Earth's atmosphere when the Earth was just an infant billions of years ago? Okay, back to the article. The total solar eclipse provides a rare opportunity for scientists to study the sun, particularly its atmosphere. As the moon completely covers the sun and perfectly blocks its light during an eclipse, the typically faint corona is easily seen against the dark sky. NASA is funding 11 science projects across America for scientists to take advantage of the unique astronomical event to learn more about the sun and its effect on Earth's upper atmosphere. Now, there is a couple of photos here. I'm going to read, if I can get my cursor working. Where is this cursor? It's making my life very difficult. Sorry. There's two screens, and sometimes getting the cursor at the edge is a difficult thing. Oh. Okay, good. Here's one of the photos. During the upcoming total solar eclipse, a team of NASA-funded scientists will observe the solar corona using stabilized telescopes aboard two NASA's WB-F-57 research aircraft. The vantage point provides distinct advantages over ground-based observation, as illustrated by this composite photo. Okay, now another photo says one of the WB-57 jets is ready for a test run at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston. The instruments are mounted under the silver casing on the nose of the plane. So I may have told you this before. I was in the Johnson Center in 1987, so that was about 30 years ago. It was free. You could walk around freely, and there was a tour, and the tour only cost $5. I bet it costs $100 to get in now, and there's probably a lot of security guard. Before, you could walk around freely. There was no worry about terrorism or bombings or any bad things happening. Okay, now let's get back to the article. The corona is heated to millions of degrees, yet the lower atmospheric layers, like the photosphere, the visible surface of the sun, are only heated to a few thousand degrees. Scientists aren't sure how this inversion happens. One theory proposes that magnetic waves called Alfvén waves steadily convey energy into the sun's outer atmosphere, where it is then dissipated as heat. Alternatively, micro explosions, termed nanoflares, too small and frequent to detect individually, but with a large collective effect, might release heat into the corona. Due to technological limitations, no one has yet directly seen nanoflares, but the high resolution and high speed images to be taken from the WB-57F jets might reveal their effects on the corona. The high definition pictures, captured 30 times per second, will be analyzed for wave motion in the corona to see if waves move towards away from the surface of the sun and with what strength and sizes. I have to find the person's name, and this cursor is not cooperating. So says, sorry about that, a professor called Caspi. Okay, it doesn't say his first name, so sorry about that delay. So says Professor Caspi, we see the evidence of nanoflare heating, but we don't know where they occur. If they occur higher up in the corona, we might expect to see waves moving downwards as the little explosions occur and collectively reconfigure the magnetic fields, end quote. So there's lots of complex science going on with all these in Titan's atmosphere, in eclipses, in all things. As I read a couple of weeks ago, there's metal ions they found now in the atmosphere of Mars, and they suspect there's metal atmosphere in the atmospheres of other, or sorry, metal ions in the atmosphere of other planets. So there's so much to learn in astronomy. Now back to the article. In this way, nanoflares may also be the missing link responsible for untangling the chaotic mess of magnetic fields on the surface of the sun, explaining why the corona has neat loops and smooth fans of magnetic fields. The direction and nature of the waves observed will also help distinguish between competing models of coronal heating. The two planes launched from Ellington Field near NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston will observe the total eclipse for about 3.5 minutes each as they fly over Missouri, how Americans say Missouri, Illinois, and Tennessee. By flying high in the stratosphere, observations taken with onboard telescopes will avoid looking through the majority of Earth's atmosphere, greatly improving image quality. At the plane's cruising altitude of 50,000 feet, the sky is 20 to 30 times darker than as seen from the ground, and there is much less atmospheric turbulence, allowing fine structures and motions in the sun's corona to be visible. Now, I've studied in my physics courses some of this turbulence of the air and of water, and it's quite an amazing thing. Okay, back to the article. Images of the sun will primarily be captured at visible light wavelength, specifically the green light given off by highly ionized iron, superheated by the corona. This light is best for showing the fine structures in the sun's outer atmosphere. These images are complementary to space-based telescope like NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory, or SDO, which takes images primarily in ultraviolet light and does not have the capacity of the high-speed imagery that can be captured aboard the WB-57F. Observations of Mercury will also be taken a half hour before and after totality when the sky is still relatively dark. These images taken in the infrared will be the first attempt to map the variation of temperature across the surface of the planet. Mercury rotates much lower than Earth, One mercurial day is approximately 59 Earth days, so the night side cools to a few hundred degrees below zero, while the visible daylight side bakes at a toasty 800 degrees Fahrenheit. The images will show how quickly the surface cools, allowing scientists to know